Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day we try to apply and live out what we've been learning. And this week, bit by bit, we've been exploring a story from the Bible where Jesus encountered two people who were in desperate need of healing and wasn't just a sort of distant faith healer who just zaps people, but actually got his hands dirty and put himself at great risk by caring for these people. The story began with a ruler, an official in Jesus' culture, approaching Jesus saying, "My daughter has died, can you come help?" A kind of a crazy claim, really, because when people die, they don't usually come back. And yet, Jesus intends to do that. And so he says, "Yes, I'll help." He starts walking with this man, and on the way, a woman intercepts them, says she needs help with an illness she's been dealing with for 12 years that's kept her an outcast from society. Jesus stops and helps her, even though doing that makes him unclean because he was touched by this woman, and then continues on his way to go and help this little girl who's died. When Jesus arrives at the bedside of this little girl, he does something that would horrify a lot of his fellow Jews. He actually touches the body. He makes himself unclean, and they wouldn't even have seen why he would do that. She was dead. She's a lost cause. Why does this guy think he's going to be able to do anything about somebody who's already dead? But Jesus does it anyway, even though the people who are already mourning there, who've gathered to make a lot of noise with flutes, to wail, so everybody knows about their mourning, very common in his culture. They're all there. They think it's too late. They laugh at him that he thinks he's going to do something about this. But Jesus goes in anyway. Breaks more social rules by touching a corpse, which would make him unclean and have to go through all the rituals of becoming unclean, and tells her to get up. He tells her, "Oh, she's just sleeping. Wake up, little girl." And she does. She just gets up. She's alive and she walks around. Incredible story that obviously would have blown away the people who were there, completely outside anybody's normal experience of life. And for which science presents no challenge, because the whole point is this isn't science. This isn't meant to be explained. It's supposed to be an aberration from the normal state of affairs, which science tries to describe. Jesus very intentionally uses that language of sleep, not to confuse us and make us think that maybe she was just sleeping, she wasn't really dead. But Jesus is using it quite intentionally to say, you know what, to me, to Jesus, death is just like sleep. It's a temporary state. It's not permanent. I just have to say the word, and death is over. Now, just like the story we explored yesterday of him healing the woman on the way to this little girl's house, Jesus is trying to tell us something about his kingdom and his plans for the entire world in how he approaches this little girl. With the woman yesterday, he was showing us that his kingdom will have no more sickness, no more pain. He uses her as an example of that. Here's a woman with no more sickness, no more pain. She's just experienced what my kingdom is going to be like for all of you. She experienced it because of her faith. It was her faith that made her well, not just touching his clothes. It was her faith in Jesus himself and in his kingdom, being a much better state of affairs than what she was used to, and something that she wanted to start living and practicing today. That's what healed her. She wanted to live in God's kingdom. She started practicing it, and so she experienced it. Same with this little girl. This father's faith is that Jesus could actually bring about a world with no more death. That's what his kingdom is all about. And this man truly believes that Jesus could do that. He could end death's reign over all of us human beings just like that. And you know what? Jesus does it. He just says to this little girl, "You know what? Your death? Just like sleep. Time to wake up." And she does. He's not just doing it for her, he's doing it for all of us. He's trying to let us know, this is what my kingdom will be like. Do you want to come along? Do you want to join me here in my kingdom? This is what it'll be like. Start living it out, practicing it now. Start living like death doesn't matter, like death has no toehold in our world. And you have that kind of faith in Jesus, that he is greater even than death. Then you started trusting him to the point that he can truly raise you from the dead when his kingdom comes in its fullness. So we've just seen Jesus deal with two people in desperate need of healing. Now, they may be unlike you. You may not be dealing with a chronic illness for the last 12 years. And if you're listening to me talk, you're not dead. But I think there's still something in this story for all of us to learn from, because we're all in need of some form of healing. We're all broken. We're all broken, sinful human beings who've rebelled against God as a human race together and each in our own individual ways. We all need healing from that. And our problem with sin is actually at the heart of all the other sickness and death we see in our world. Not because one person's specific sin leads to their specific illness, but because when our human race rebelled against God, broke our relationship off with Him, it brought into the world death. God had given us life, and so when we rebelled against the God who gave us life, that's when death became a reality in our world. That's when all the other brokenness we see became a reality, including all the illnesses that bring about death eventually. All the things in our world that don't feel right to us, that we look and we say, you know what, that wasn't in the Garden of Eden when God created us human beings. Those are all the kinds of things that God intends to end in His kingdom. And He's showing us that in His miracles all through the Bible, and obviously in these two stories as well. We all have a problem with sin, and if you've ever tried to deal with it on your own, you may feel just as desperate as that father or as that woman in this story, who feel like, you know what, I've tried everything else. There's only one hope left, and it's our hope as well if we're dealing with sin in our lives. It's Jesus. He's the only one who can deal with death. He's the only one who can deal with illness. He's the only one who can deal with sin forever. This is great news. God has a plan, and He invites us to be a part of it, not just in some future era, but today. He wants us to be a part of His transformed world, His kingdom. For this woman, it looked like her having faith in Jesus, being able to do anything and to bring about a whole new kind of world with no more sickness, no more pain, no more sin. And that's what He did. For the father, it meant trusting Jesus could bring about a world with no more death. And that's what Jesus did. That's His kingdom. So for you, what does it look like? What sin in your life can you simply not deal with on your own? But only Jesus can. That's part of today's challenge. Here's what we're going to challenge you to do. What sin do you need to be healed of? In your desperation, how can you turn to Jesus, having tried everything else, and fully trust Him to heal you when nothing else can? Part of that is going to mean taking stock of what you've been holding back from Jesus and not trusting Him to heal in your life. Figure out what that thing is and hand it over to Jesus and say, I can't do it anymore. Nobody else can do it, but I know you can. That's the beginning of a relationship with Jesus. And if you've chosen to take that step, I'd love to support you in it. Please get in touch with me. I'd love to hear your story and where Jesus is about to become part of it. Have a great time putting that challenge into your life, and I'll see you tomorrow.